Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to the Off the Air Radio Show, brought to you live every Friday night on the Vibe Radio Network from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. From the Gun Room in Speedway, Indiana, I am your host, Aldo Gonzalez, moderator of the modicum, interviewer of the intelligent, and guiler of my guests. This is the place where I talk about anything and everything that interests me and where my guests are mighty, brave, and full of all sorts of useful information that will not make any of us rich, but only provide some entertainment for your Friday nights. No story is off limits. No guest is too big or too small. We may use profanity, so if certain words offend you, here is my apology for that now. We will always attempt to be professional. But in the end, we just want to have fun, laugh, and enjoy each other's strange and curious stories. That being said, make sure you've already gone to the bathroom, that you've got your cup of coffee or cup of tea or soda nearby, that your dog is sleeping soundly at your feet, and that the cat has already been brought inside, because we will take no commercial breaks. It's just going to be me, you, and my guest for the next hour.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you so very much for tuning in to tonight's show. I was told this past week that I have a way with words. Well, maybe I have a way with words, and other people not have way. Tonight's show is brought to you by the historic Hanna House right here in Indianapolis, Indiana. The Hanna House will be holding an open house on June 4th from 1 o'clock to 4 p.m. And come on out and enjoy this beautiful and historic location right here on the south side of Indianapolis. Also, the paranormal celebration will be held on the grounds of the Hanna House this year, as it has for the past few years. Well, many years, I should say. And that's going to be on August 26th this summer. So if you've ever attended this event, I highly recommend it. It's a great time to visit with various paranormal teams from around the Midwest. You can explore all the vendor booths, all the delicious food, and even meet me at my booth. I'll be the real tall, skinny guy with a huge stack of unpurchased books all by myself, alone, oftentimes weeping. No, really, I was at the event last year, and even though it poured down rain, I had a ball. And I talked about my book that I was selling at the time, The Feeders at Night, told a lot of my entertaining stories, and even listened to other people's spooky and scary tales. So I'll be set up again this year and can't wait to showcase my new book, Awaken the Feeders. It's not the sequel, it's the prequel. I've taken a page out of the Star Wars movie franchise, and I've decided to go back in time to the original owners of that crazy place. And hopefully Samantha Eichelberger, that's actually not a hopeful, I know she'll be there, the great and mighty, beautiful, awesome secret weapon, Samantha Eichelberger. She's been illustrating a lot for the book and doing some painting, and she's doing the book cover, and she's just fan. The historic Hanna House also hosts several other events throughout the year, including weddings. Man, who's going to have a wedding at a haunted house? That's kind of crazy in my mind. But maybe paranormal people get married, I guess. So that's where they would go. And they also have graduation parties there. And actually, just about anything that you may want to rent the house for, you can do that. If you or someone you know would be interested in renting this historic landmark for your event, you can contact them at info@thehannamansion.org. That's info@thehannahmansion.org, spelled H-A-N-N-A-H, to find out more about rates and availability. So, every Friday night, I talk about my one weird thing. Tonight's one weird thing has to do with psychics. The Chapman University did some interesting research into the paranormal recently and published their results. And I read through that today and got a couple of giggles, I guess, because some of it seems as if they just don't believe. But I'm reading it and thinking, what the heck? Yeah, that makes sense to me, you know. So I've read through much of it and have to admit that they did a rather poor job on as a whole on the subject. But however, some of the results are fascinating. So here it is. Some of the results from the Chapman University. Researchers at Chapman University found that brain activity significantly drops in the frontal lobe when psychics and mediums are doing a reading. This is especially interesting considering the frontal lobe of our brains regulates decision-making, problem-solving, consciousness, focus, and emotion. So this is interesting because this could signify that another force is at work in the psychic while they're performing their reading. It's kind of, I like science proving paranormal. That's awesome. They also found that the development of psychic abilities and that, you know, extrasensory perception has been linked to four different factors. So take note of this, people. Tell me if this is you. Your psychic ability could be connected to your genetics. Maybe it's just hardwired in you. Maybe your mom had it. Maybe your grandmother had it. Maybe going back generations and generations, you've had a family of psychics in your life. Another factor could be brain injury or head trauma. You know, when you were held up at the Speedway gas station and the guy conked you over the head with his 45, and now all of a sudden you've got this ability. That Chapman University says that could be the case. Or it's a history of anxiety and unusual spiritual experiences in your life. That kind of makes sense to me, too. Because even though I'm not a psychic, I do have some strange things that I think I have in my life. Like, I see weird shadows a lot now. Ever since I lived at that haunted house, there has been this thing in me where I'm seeing things now. So I don't know if that's because the switch has been turned on. Nobody hit me over my head that I can remember. So maybe that last part is me, some anxiety, lived in that situation, and all of a sudden you've got some paranormal superpowers. So that's tonight's one weird thing, brought to you by Clear Choice Restoration. They are your helping hand when it comes to hail, wind, and storm damage, of which we are receiving some tonight in Indiana. It is going crazy outside. The storms kind of passed through quickly, but boy, oh boy, were they're tough. So all of you people who have been sitting watching the hail break your windows and bust out your siding and tear up your roof, Clear Choice Restoration is the people that you need to call. Most people don't even know that they may indeed have damage on their roof or gutters or siding. And the storms that's happened tonight and over the past few months, Clear Choice is the people you need to call to get the damage fixed. So call Clear Choice Restoration, free roof inspection, and tell them that Al sent you. In Indiana, call 317-358-8630. That's 317-358-8630. I was going to have my very special friend as a co-host tonight, but she has a migraine. So, Kathy Baker, I am so sorry that you're feeling sick and down tonight. Take it easy. It's okay. I wrote this very, very funny intro for you, but I'm going to have to save it for the next time that you co-host. So, take care of yourself. Don't worry about it. We'll get tacos later. Tonight's special guest is Brandi Miller. She's part of the paranormal team, Detroit Paranormal Expeditions, from, you guessed it, Detroit, Michigan, right? Pure Michigan, correct, as the commercials call it. I kind of follow Brandy and her team members on Facebook and get so freaking jealous of them as I see that they travel all over the Midwest hunting ghosts at all types of creepy locations and fantastic looking old locations. And even though Brandy looks like she's photobombing most of those pictures, she does not play a backseat role in the team's research or investigations. She likes to go into a location free from any knowledge of the place and just let her innate psychic abilities take over. She and I have been talking about a number of different topics in the paranormal field over Messenger, and tonight I will finally get to talk with her voice to voice instead of from Messenger to Messenger. She's a mother of five children. She seem to always be wrestling in the background of her pics. I think that's funny. And I'm sure she plays an important role keeping her team from all the shenanigans that go on during those investigations. I mean, being that she's a mother of five, she's always in mom mode, right? So maybe some of her team members can call in and give us the real scoop on Brandy. Anyway, I'm so happy to welcome you, Brandy, to my little radio show. Howdy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. You and I have talked for about an hour before the show, and we were laughing about some stuff and talking about some stuff. I know you're a little nervous tonight. I know that you don't typically do, like, psychic readings on air and stuff like that. That's not who you are, but we're gonna take you out of your comfort zone tonight. And we're going to have some people call in, and we're going to see what we come up with. And if they ask crazy questions, we'll just make fun of them and go on. So, First off, why don't you tell us about your team, Detroit Paranormal Expeditions? You know, how long have you guys been together? What do? Where do you go and investigate?
Well, we were founded back in December 2016 by our founders, Jeff Atkins and Todd Bonner. There's currently 13 of us on the team. We're like a big family. I mean, we all love each other to death. We're more family than we are. We go all over. I mean, we've been to the Upper Peninsula. We've been to Indiana, Kentucky, Ohio. We're going to New York, November 3rd, to the Hinsdale House.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty excited for that one. We're also going to the Whitney in Detroit this Sunday. So we're pretty excited about that one, too.
Do you guys do home inspections, too, for people who are struggling with ghosts? Kind of like how I was. You know, I lived in a haunted house for 7 years, and I thought I was just going freaking insane, you know. Do you ever go to, you know, do private investigations and help people out?
We do when we get the calls. We don't really discuss those because they're privacy enclosed, so we don't talk about those too much, but we do them when they do call us and ask for help.
Yeah, well, you probably don't take all 13 members to those houses, do you?
No, we don't.
Yeah. Well, you are a psychic medium, and I've got, like, lots of questions about all that. We talked about that a little bit, but I think it's a definition type of a thing is where my questions are. What exactly is it that things different, a psychic and also a medium? And what other things are out there? Because we talked about empaths, too. Can you kind of define some of that stuff? I think there may be misconception in the world where people don't necessarily understand what those things are. Help us understand what's the definition between those things.
I believe, like, more of the psychic part is where I'm able to predict somebody's past, present, or future. You know what I mean? I can feel what happened to them in the past, or I can feel what's going on with them now, what's going to happen in their future. With mediumship, I feel that's more based on a line of me channeling or connecting with spirit energy itself. I also do premonitions. I can predict what's going to happen before it happens.
Well, hold on a second. Hold on. This is kind of new to me. If you can do that, Brandy, why don't you stand in the gas station in front of all of the lotto tickets and I'm going to predict which one is the winner? Why aren't you like a freaking millionaire right now?
You know what? If it was that easy, I wouldn't be right here.
I know. Why is, you know, you can predict somebody's future and, you know, explain that a little bit. That's interesting.
Okay, well, for example, last week I was with my girlfriend Margie, who's on a team, and we were driving on the expressway, and we were driving in the far right lane, and people were getting onto the freeway, and I told her, I says, Margie, watch, because one of these cars are going to get over right in front of you and cut over. And she was just continuing to go, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this car just gets, I mean, right over, right in front of her, and she had a slam on her brakes and everything. And she's like, oh, my God, you just saved my life. She's like, you knew what was going to happen before it happened.
Mm.
And it's just things like that I can feel. Like, I can feel things before they happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in my one weird thing, I talked about that Chapman University study, and I got to know, did you like hit your head in a freak snowboarding accident, and now you got psychic superpowers?
Mm-hmm.
How did you come about knowing that you're a psychic, knowing that you're a medium, knowing that you have these abilities? What happened? If there's something happened, or is it from a young age? You know, kind of explain, you know, the process of your life and, you know, and working out some of those details.
When I was younger, I was around 4 or 5 years old, and I would always notice that this energy was in the corner of my bedroom, and he was there every single night. I mean, I would scream and cry for my mom because he would scare me. He was all white, had a white beard, white top hat. He would wear like a white long trench coat. He was just all white, white long hair. And that's when I started noticing that I can see things that wasn't normal that nobody else could see, because my mom would never believe in me.
Mm-hmm.
And they would just tell me, go back to bed, you're fine. So I'm like, okay, something's not right, because I'm hearing things and I can see them and I can sense them. Well, as I got older, you know, I didn't like it because it was coming to me too much and I didn't know how to control it. And I really didn't know at a young age what was really going on. I just knew that it wasn't normal. So I kind of ignored it and blocked it. And through my teenage years, I really didn't take notice of it too much until I got into my adult age, probably in my late 20s. And then I just started noticing it again and opened back up. And that's what led me to where I'm at now. But my mom and my grandmother and my great-grandmother are also psychic mediums. So it's a fourth generation thing. Can you hear me? Aldo, can you hear me? I don't know what happened. Hello? Uh-oh. I don't know what happened.
Oh, I'm back. Oh, my goodness.
It cut out.
Yeah, I know. I all of a sudden, everything died.
I'm sitting here and I'm talking away and explaining myself. I'm like, oh, my God, nobody's answering.
Well, you did great, I'm sure. I don't know what you said, but last thing I heard was you were talking about your mom had, you know, and your grandmother had some of those abilities. So it's kind of followed you generationally then, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Sure does.
What about your kids? You've got 5 kids and a husband. Do any of them have any of your abilities?
3 of my children have the abilities as I do. They sense them. They can hear them and see them. My youngest twin comes to me all the time and tells me that he sees my mom and he sees, you know, shadow figures, and they talk to him. And my oldest son does, and my daughter. They're both sensitive. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it runs in the family for sure.
So you've had it for a long time, and it doesn't – just get creepy sometimes, you know, always conversing with the dead or being able to see those things. I mean, I've seen Sixth Sense and, you know, the movie Sixth Sense, and I actually screamed out loud in the movie theater when I was watching that, and people were, like, laughing all around me because there's some, you know, older guy sitting there with his buddy screaming at some ghost movie. I mean, if I had those abilities like what you have, I don't know if I could handle it, you know, a lot. I had a difficult time at my haunted house. So what do you do? I mean, do you have, like, the ability to turn it off and on, or?
Yes, I do. Like, God, there's been so many times I've been freaked out and been scared. Oh, my God, I just shut it right down. If I sense something that's creeping me out or scares me, I'm just like, all right, you know what, I'm done. I block myself, and when I say I block myself, I'm concentrating and thinking about other things, and I'm not tapping into what I'm trying to read or what I'm trying to mm-hmm. receive. So I'm just basically in a different land. Somewhere else.
Have you ever had, like, a particular ghost or spirit or something that was just so persistent that you couldn't block them out?
Actually, to be honest with you, I don't have a particular one, because a lot of times when I do readings or if I'm at a location, they don't leave me alone until they get that message through. So I have no choice but to do so, and I can't block them because it's just too hard, because I know they're trying so hard that they need my help to do that. So
mm-hmm.
that's just not who I am. I'm going to put that message through to whoever needs it or if they need help.
Right. What have you found that the most dearly departed among us are really looking for or needing? What typically is the major, is there like one thing that keeps most of them searching in the afterworld, afterlife? Or is it a bunch of different things? It just seems to me like they would just – obviously, we've not been there. I don't know what goes on in the afterlife.
Right.
But it would seem to me like that if I could find my way to the light or to heaven or whatever that people believe in, I'd want to get off of this world. I want to go
right.
and, you know, enjoy it, you know, enjoy life somewhere else. What are they looking for?
I mean, honestly, I mean, it could be a numerous things. It could be unresolved – things that happened to them while they were here, or, like, say, for example, I'll give you an example of me and my mom. My mom passed away 2 years ago. I have noticed that my mom was around a lot because I was hurting so bad inside. She's not going to leave me until she knows that I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, so, I mean, and then when I started to feel better and move on a little bit more and know that, okay, you know what, she's at where she needs to be. I'm okay with this. I'm accepting this. And then as soon as that happened, I noticed that she wasn't around so much.
Does, like, she still come and visit you?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Every once in a while when I need her. It's not as much as it was when I was hurting so bad, because now that I've accepted it, I feel her around more when I just need her.
Mm-hmm.
If that's understandable.
Yeah, I would think that whatever somebody was, you know, loved in life, you and I kind of talked a little bit about this before the show, like, let's say I was into race cars, and I built this race car, and I painted this race car, and I tuned up the engine, and it was just I just loved it. I loved everything about racing. I loved everything about the car. You know, then if I would pass and died, say I was turning a wrench on it, and all of a sudden I died of a heart attack, I would want to kind of be around that thing, maybe even in the afterlife, you know, because I'm connected to it in real life. I'm going to be connected to it in the afterlife. And do you think that that could be the reason why some spirits linger, because they just love that thing, whatever it is, and they're just connected to it, and so they stay?
Well, I mean, yeah, that could be possible. I mean, it's the same thing as, let's say, we do a house investigation at a residence, and I go in, and there's been multiple times where I've picked loved ones up that don't leave that location because they're confused. They don't know what's going on, and they're wondering why are these people here? What, you know, what, they're confused. they didn't go, you know, they didn't go to the light, or, you know, they would rather just stay there and they feel more comfortable there. So, I mean, there's numerous reasons why.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And my, even though I'm psychic, I still don't have the answers for everything. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's still a study for me too. It's still me learning and figuring out why they are doing this.
Yeah. I would think that you and people like you who have those abilities, I would almost think that you guys are even more confused about it because you're seeing something that is not usual for you. And so I don't see those things, and I don't feel those things that you do. I can't walk into a building and know what had happened. I don't have that ability. So I'm not confused about it, but you do. And so you walk into a place, and you're like bombarded with all of this information or people or voices or feelings or whatever. And I would think that would be kind of overwhelming and confusing for you. Do you ever find yourself just, I can't do this. There's too many people. There's too many voices. I don't understand what's going on. And you're just completely confused and you just got to shut down.
Oh yeah. There's been multiple times. I mean, we went to Waverly a few weeks back and up on the fifth floor, where the nurse had hung, I don't know if you know the history of Waverly, but
very little.
The nurse had hung herself up on the fifth floor in the doorway. Well,
is that the one who was pregnant or something, and she was ashamed of it or something like that?
Yes, yeah.
She had TB.
And
okay.
She also had the TB. So, she had channeled in through me, and also the other psychic on our team, Tina.
Wow.
Well, out of nowhere, we just got this overwhelming feeling, and we can feel every emotion that she had felt, the pain in her stomach, I mean, just everything, and we just bawled. I mean, we could not stop crying, and it took us so long to recover from that because that's how strong it was.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, at that point, we were just like, okay, you know what? We're done now. We're done. We can't handle this no more. It literally took us over.
Do you think that was her still there, or is it just an imprint in the building of that traumatic, terrible moment in her life where her, you know, she decided to take her life?
No. She's definitely still there. Yeah,
so she's still there. It's not like it's a residual type of a thing.
No, not at all. Nope, she's still there. Yeah.
I kind of know the answer, but then I don't fully comprehend it. At least I think about it a lot, and I talk about it a lot, but I don't think I've got all the answers. What exactly is a residual haunting?
That's more of, I would have to say, like the residue of the energy that was once there at that location. Let me use an example. We were at a house last week, me and Margie. And the guy was there, and we were talking to him. I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm picking up this old lady that's here, but I'm also seeing children upstairs in the bedroom, and they're running in and out of the attic that's connected to their bedroom, and they're playing in there. So the guy had confirmed to me that an older woman did own a home that that he had purchased. He was the only homeowner besides her, and she had passed away. But the children are still alive, and they were her kids. So basically what I was picking up both of them. I was picking up her, who has passed on, which is more of an intelligent energy, and then the residual, which was the kids. I seen what the kids did once when they were little, when they were living in the house.
I understand what you're saying. I had a residual at the haunted house that I lived in, and it was something would walk down the hallway, and you could hear it walking. And then it would go into the kitchen, and there was a big bang in the kitchen. And then about 7 seconds later, something would turn the corner from the kitchen and goes super fast, straight out like the front window. And we actually timed this thing down. You know, so we knew that it was, as soon as we heard the walking in the hallway, we knew what was happening. it was that residual again. And then we'd be right. Like, okay, here's that noise that's going to happen in the kitchen. It's going to happen in the kitchen. but what I can't get my head around is like the physics of it. And I know we talk about physics, and you and I are not that smart. We don't know physics, you know, but you know, let's talk about it anyway, right? Because what I can't get around my head is in order to make a sound of something walking in my hallway, they have to have like mass. They have to be able to put a foot down on the floor, and yet they're not doing that because they're not there. So I don't understand how we can hear things, and then we hear that huge, you know, bang in the kitchen, and it seems like they'd have to use a hand to hit the counter. So is that exactly? Is that just that? Is it just the energy that's stored in the house, and that's what we're hearing, or is it something that actually takes place every time it happens?
I think it's something that's actually taking place. That's more of an intelligent energy. I don't think that's residual at all.
Yeah, I struggled with that for the longest time, and a lot of the paranormal groups that came to the house, you know, they experienced it too.
Right.
And they all said, oh, that's residual. And I'm thinking, yeah, well, in my ignorance, because I didn't know anything at the time about that, but in my ignorance, I'm thinking, I don't get that. How can that be something that's not here? It has to be here to make the sound.
Right. Well, not only that, I mean, has it ever replied back to you? I mean, have you ever asked it questions or asked it to do something and it did it?
No, but what it did do, because we were sitting this one particular time, we were sitting on the couch that was in front of the big bay window there in the front living room. And what it would do was we could see it too. That's the other thing. It would exit the kitchen and it would zoom like straight at me or straight at the person that's sitting next to me and kind of go out the window behind us. And I'm thinking, one, why are they going out the window? There's a door 5 feet away. And there's stupid things I think of. Like, why are they going out the window? It makes no sense to me. But, you know, we saw it and we heard it. And so maybe I've been calling that a residual all this time, and maybe it wasn't. But then why would it do that over and over and over and over again?
Exactly. Like, it's not even taking notice of you.
Yeah, it's weird, strange, strange. I don't get all that stuff. I like to think that I'm coming better, having a little bit better knowledge of this stuff, but it seems like the more I think I know, the more questions I actually have.
Right. We all have them questions. That's what we do. I mean, we're all trying to figure it out, what's beyond what's shown or what's going on, you know, and hopefully we find the answers. I mean, it's pretty interesting, so...
Yeah, I kind of believe that we all have an ability to sense things. I think it's like embedded in our souls. It's kind of like it's kind of like impressions. Like you see somebody and you just immediately love them. You know, they're just such a great person. It's that first impression kind of a thing. It could be an ability. Or you see somebody, you know, like, I fucking hate this guy. What is wrong with him? And you just know something about him, you know. It's kind of like we have that ability. And I think everybody kind of has an ability, you know, call it being psychic or call it being empathic or call it whatever you want to define it. But most people either don't know how to use it or have kind of just shut it off during their life. You know, they claim that they're a non-believer, and so it just doesn't matter what happens around them. They're going to have some sort of an answer, you know, to try to dismiss it. And I myself laugh about this because I say that I don't have any paranormal superpowers. I wish I did, but I kind of think that maybe I'm a magnet a little bit because I see things a lot. My brother's girlfriend listens to the show, and so I can't say all of the creepy things that I see in this house because it would scare her. And so now I'm sure she's going to call in the show, and she's going to say, what is going on in the house, Aldo?
You're going to get it now.
Yeah, I know it. But, you know, people kind of think that maybe I'm a magnet to the other world, or so every now and then I can see those things, paranormal things that I guess what you'd call it. And often I've had very vivid dreams too. I get these really vivid dreams of people and, you know, people I don't know talking about things that I completely don't understand. And I got to believe that there's maybe a purpose to that, but I don't know how to kind of tune it in. You know, I don't know how to kind of hone in on it. I don't have that knowledge. I don't understand how to do it. So what would you tell somebody, you know, like myself, who kind of struggle with those things? What would you tell somebody? How would you help them to, you know, maybe hone their skills or, find their paranormal superpower?
Well, what I would have to say, like, with your, like, for instance, with your dreams, if people are having dreams of people they don't know who's coming through to them or whatever, write in a journal. If you can remember in the morning what you were dreaming or what happened, start keeping a journal and write everything down in there and see if there's a message that is linked to that.
Mm-hmm.
And gather everything up. You know, I mean, I believe everybody to an extent, I mean, everybody's empathic. Everybody feels, you know, whether it's this person has a bad energy, this person has a good energy. I mean, that's your empath. Everybody has that. It's a matter of opening
mm-hmm.
it up. You
right,
know, I mean,
right.
People who are denying everything, of course you're not going to feel anything because you're blocking it. You're blocking your energy from feeling anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, with me, I'm just open. I'm very open. And a lot of people, it's hard to explain.
Yeah, I think that for me, you know, if I was to try to explain it to somebody, prior to 2007 when I bought the house, I was very closed. I just didn't believe that type of stuff. It was fun, interesting, watch a movie, scary movie, watch The Exorcist, you know, get scared type of stuff, or whatever, watch some television shows with some ghost hunters or whatever, and it's kind of fun. But it wasn't,
right.
In my mind, wasn't really based in reality. So I kind of, in that life prior to 2007 was kind of closed to the paranormal. And then I move into the house. I have all these creepy, crazy, weird shit going on that I got to kind of struggle with. And man, did I struggle. I really did. I struggled with it. And I kind of thought I was crazy. And then I had to come to the realization that either I'm completely nuts and my family needs to put me in an insane asylum or something else was going on. And if something else was going on, maybe there are ghosts. Maybe there are spirits. Maybe there's something evil. Maybe there's something malevolent in the house. Maybe there's something that's attached to me or is interested in me because I was sick, I was depressed, going through a divorce, all that stuff.
Right.
You know, prior to 2007, I was closed. But after living in that house, maybe that switch has been turned on in my head now, and now I'm open to it. And maybe that's the reason now that I have some of these experiences, or I see certain things that I wouldn't have maybe, you know, before in my life. Does that make any
right.
sense to you? Do you think that maybe was what's going on?
Well, it makes perfect sense. I mean, you said you were sick after you moved in the house, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's basically dropping your energy. So you're more susceptible of them coming to you. That's like they say if you're sick or say you have an addiction problem with alcohol or drugs or anything along the lines of that, your energy is more weaker. So you're more susceptible of picking things up and they're going to be drawn to you because they know they
mm-hmm.
can come to you because your energy is basically at the same wavelength as theirs.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that they feed off that negative energy, that sick energy, that down, depressed energy?
Yes, because it makes them stronger. They feed onto
yeah.
it. It's insane how it happens. I mean, I've seen people to where they have an attachment and it makes them negative, and then all of a sudden your partner, you're negative with your partner, and then your partner's negative back to you, and they're feeding off of that, and it's only making them stronger because they can collect that energy from both of you.
Yeah, it's kind of like a downward spiral.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's kind of why I entitled my books the way I did, you know, The Feeders at Night and Awaken the Feeders, because I think that there is something out there in the spirit world that, you know, we eat, I like tacos. And so tonight I had tacos and burritos at the Mexican restaurant with my brother and his girlfriend, like I do every Friday. And they, you know, I where I get my energy. You know, I eat tacos, and so now I'm strong like Popeye.
Why are you eating tacos on Friday? Isn't Tuesday taco night?
Yeah, Tuesday taco is Taco Tuesday. It's also Taco Thursday, and it's Taco Friday because it's before the show, and I always talk about eating tacos, so I got to do that. But, you know, just like I eat tacos for energy, in their world, you would think that they have to eat something, too. They have to – surely they've got, like, a diet that they have to have, and maybe it's energy. They just feed off of just pure energy. And so if my energy is of the taco nature to them, then they like tacos, then they're going to eat a lot of my negative energy. So, you know, I guess that's how you can explain it, right?
Perfect ass.
Well, yeah, good start. Hey, we're going to take some calls.
Okay.
So if anybody that's listening, you know, you got some questions for Brandy, you can go ahead and call us now. The number is 516-387-1922, 516-387-1922. But before we go to the phones, first off, people need to know that Brandy doesn't do psychic readings like this. It's not kind of how it works, but we're going to make her do it anyway. So we're going to take her out of her comfort zone, and she's really nervous about it because she doesn't want to come across as, you know, do anything wrong or bad or whatever. So if you call in and you've got a crazy question and she can't answer it, the best thing for you to do is find her on Facebook, you know, friend her on Facebook and, you know, talk with her there, you know, send her a picture of yourself and then maybe she can get some more because that's how you do it, right? You do some readings on Facebook.
Yes, I do. If they want to message me on Facebook with a picture of a past loved one or a picture of themselves, I could do it better that way. So they're more than welcome to go ahead and message me or send me a friend request.
Yeah, it's Brandy Marie, right? Miller.
Yep, correct.
Hey, that's how she's on Facebook, Brandy Marie Miller. So you can go ahead and do that as you're listening to the show if you want. She won't be able to do it for a while because she's still on the air. But go ahead and call in. We want some callers. I've had a couple callers call in and then they dropped. And I don't know if they're having storms too or if they're just kind of listening and I don't know. So if you're interested in talking with her, go ahead and call in 516-387-1922. But the preface here is that if it's a crazy question, we're going to make fun of you. That's just how it's going to work. So you got to bring your A game because she's going to try her best to help you out. But if she can't, she can't. You know, you can message her later. But we don't want, while we're waiting for some calls or whatever, you know, I kind of want to know because you guys kind of get around, right? And you've got a friend with you, right? You've got Margie there, right? Hi, Margie.
Hi. How you
There's
doing,
Margie.
Everybody?
So Brandy and Margie are kind of hanging out together tonight, and Margie's a part of Detroit Paranormal Expeditions, too. So if you got a question for Margie, let's put her on the hot spot, too. That'd be fun. But before we start doing that, you guys go to some crazy fun locations. And I've got to know. We got a caller, but I'm gonna keep them on hold for a second. I got to know, what is, like, the craziest, scariest, creepiest thing that you've ever encountered while out investigating? Because I've got great stories of being, you know, at that haunted house. But I got to know, what have you experienced, the craziest, creepiest, weirdest stuff? Give us a good story.
I would have to say mine would be at the Detroit precinct, the 6th precinct. Probably, God, we've done it twice. And both times, the first time actually, we were down in the basement area, and all of a sudden, I had at least, God, 7 to 13 prisoners up in my face at one time.
What?
And I'm just sitting,
really?
Yeah. And I'm looking at all of them, and then all of a sudden, I felt one touch my ass.
No
and
way.
As soon as that happened, I looked at Jeff, and I said, Jeff, I'm going upstairs. And I ran up them stairs.
Well, you got to think that here we've got prisoners that are void of human female contact all the whole time that they're in prison. And then all of a sudden they're dead and they're still void of human female. I would think that would happen more often in places. I would think that you, maybe not so much as a guy, and this isn't a sexist thing, it's just a human thing. I would think that female investigators kind of run the risk of getting assaulted by creepy spirits.
I mean, it's true. I mean, you know, just like, okay, the same time, well, the second time we were at that location, we were all down in the basement, and it was Todd, Jeff, me, Tina, and then the other two guys that had worked there. And we were down in the basement, and there's two rooms down there. And me and Jeff were on the other side of the room, on the upper opposite side, and Tina and Todd and the other two guys were on the other side. Well, as me and Jeff were in the other room, we're sitting there, and we can hear Todd freak out and run because he had got touched. Well, then we're sitting here, and we end up switching. Todd ended up going in the room where I was at, and Jeff went in the other room with Tina on them. Well, as me and Todd are, like, practically, like, standing with our backs up against the wall, we can feel this energy force. I mean, I've never in my life ever felt something like this, but it came at us so fast that he went to go take off, and I literally latched on him. Like, my whole body was just, like, up on him.
So he's, like, dragging you behind.
Yes, like I looked at him and you ain't leaving me behind. And we both looked up across that room and we were just like, oh my God, what just happened? It was crazy. It was insane.
We've got a caller. I'm going to go ahead and bring them on the air. So, hi, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up, Aldo? What's up, ladies? This is Rebecca Genesis.
How are you doing? I knew that was you.
Good. Yeah.
What's going on, Rebecca?
Live from Tampa Bay, Florida. What's up, y'all?
Hi.
Hey, so I just caught the show a little bit ago, and right when I caught it, Brandy was talking about strangers showing up in dreams. So I've had a few of these experiences where I've had dreams, which I get a lot of intuitive information from. And there were these strangers, and then it was later confirmed that there was something, like, valid about who they were and why they were showing up. Like, specifically, I had this young boy show up. The first mediumship experience I ever had was when I was 17, and I dreamt about this boy who was, like, being chased down by drug dealers, and then he was screaming out, like, help me, help me, and I ran up to this huge fence. He couldn't get above the fence because it was too high, and all these people are walking by and they don't see him, but I do see him. And I realized the fence was what was separating, it was like the veil from the dead and the living. And then he was being chased by drug dealers. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm trying to help him, and then I get fast forwarded to like his death scene, and I saw he was tortured and decapitated, and that he was thrown into the water. So the next morning I'm going to work, and I pick up the paper, as I normally do, and I'm looking through. Right on the front page is him, just like I saw him in my dream. It was crazy.
Wow.
And he, sure enough, had been decapitated by drug dealers over a drug debt. And it was crazy. So it's funny how I wrote a book about, like, all my ghost experiences, but I tucked this, my first memory, so far away because it was so, like, traumatizing. And
right.
So now it's like after I wrote my second book, or after I wrote my first book, now my second book is going to be coming out, and I have to talk about him because it's come back in my mind. But it's funny how these things happen and you tuck them away.
Rebecca, are you saying that you forgot about that and just recently remembered?
I didn't forget about it. I just feel like I tucked it away, like, so deeply.
Yeah.
Like, with trauma, you tend to compartmentalize, and that's a way for you to go on without, you know, I'm a psych major, so... That's what you do. People tend, you know, we have these ways that we go about, you know, when we protect ourselves from trauma. And I have anxiety issues. I've had anxiety attacks, you know. So I'm a very anxious person, being a sensitive, as most people are, goes hand in hand. So,
exactly.
But yeah. And so after I wrote my first book was when I started remembering, when I started doing interviews, like, what was your first mediumship experience? I was like, wow. I totally didn't even think about that. You know, it was crazy. You know, and there's other ones, but that's the most significant one. And so I'm actually going to include that in my next book and write all about him. And he's been visiting with me, and I've channeled through him since. And, you know, it's really cool.
So you're still talking with this guy?
I did recently. You know, I wasn't a channeler back then, and I was denying everything. And now it's like 20 years later. I'm 37 now. It's been 20 years. And I accept everything, and it's like, this is what I do. This is a gift, you know. So, it did take 20 years for me to, like, invite him back in. But, you know, he said some really cool stuff. Like, when I channeled him, like, I told him, I asked him, like, why did you pick me? And he said, I saw you. And I was like, well, why did you choose me, though? And he said, because you're sweet. And he was so nice. Like, maybe he knew in the future I would actually write about him. And it was so hard to find research on him, like, online, because it was 1997. And so, you know, the internet was just getting started. And I couldn't remember his name. I just remembered, you know, my dream and then a little bit of the article and what he looked like. But I found through Facebook, through, you know, putting posts out, who he is. And actually one of my friends was really good friends with him. And so we're going to have a sit down and talk about him. And I've contacted the lead investigator in the case. I'm going to get the record, you know, as to everything that happened, because there were two convicted killers in his case. And he was unfairly killed and decapitated over drug debt.
Right. Do you, I have a question for you. Do you often, like, or have you tried to work on, like, missing person cases?
You know, that's funny. That's why Aldo first started talking to me. He was the first one. Like, I was brand new in my channeling.
Yeah.
And he started contacting me. He was, like, one of the first people that made me go and, like, break through and try to do that. And, you know, I was like, I told him. Right, Aldo? You remember? I was like, I don't know. Like, my info that I get from channeling hasn't really been confirmed. But since then, there have been a lot of things confirmed that I've channeled. And so I'm a little more confident, you know. When you're totally open and you're receiving the messages, that's when you get the best ones.
Yeah, that's the same as me. Like, I haven't worked on that many. I've worked on three. And I've helped them find them, you know, with the missing person cases. So, I mean, and I never knew that I could do that. I just tapped into my abilities, told them what I've seen and what I'm hearing, and it works.
You got to go with your intuition. I mean,
you know,
your logic will cross it out. Like, no. I can't be. And I've gone that way throughout my life for a long time. And it's like, once you finally let that go, that's when you open up, and that's when things start happening more and more. And you just become more and more in tune with your ability.
Right. Yeah. You never second guess yourself. That's what I've learned.
Yeah,
you always go
with
what first comes to you.
Yep. Your intuition has been around forever, and it's tied into something greater than what we know. It's like an energy. So it's an awareness.
You
know? Yeah. So I just wanted to, like, call in and say that, and you guys are having an awesome show. So
thank you
for letting me be a part of it.
Yeah,
it was great hearing about your story. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, hey, I have a question. Okay, if you're doing readings, Brandy. I am trying to do this big move from Tampa Bay to Nevada, where I really, really, really want to be. Do you see or sense anything positive around that happening? Because I want it to happen this summer with me and my daughter, to go out there and have a wonderful new life that's waiting for us. So do you think, what do you pick up on that?
The only thing that I'm picking up is that you will have a great move. It will be very positive, but it's not going to happen probably about 6 months.
Okay.
Within
so
6 months it will happen. Yeah,
something I have to go against her father.
Something will hold you back a little bit.
It's her father. Yeah, I'm co-parenting, but there's
better
life and better school.
Rebecca, did you hear what she just said? She said something's going to delay it.
Yeah, something's going to happen to where it's going to stop
my kid's father. He's
the
only obstacle,
we have been talking about that for the last week or so.
Yeah, I tell you all my deepest, darkest. You're the one I text when I'm all sad, and and you're right there for me, and it's awesome.
But no, I mean, it will happen. It's going to be a little bit longer, but it will definitely happen for you.
That makes sense, and I appreciate your insight, and you guys keep going with the awesome show. I'm going to dip out, but thank you so much for having me on.
Rebecca, before
thank
you leave, do you You had talked about your books, Rebecca. Why don't you give the names of them so that people can look them up on Amazon or wherever?
Yeah, it's Ghostseer. So I'm writing my second book. I only have one book out right now, but you can go to my website, ghostseers.com. You can check out my blogs and my gallery, and there's a link to my book there as well, and I'm working on my second book. It's all true stories. Like, the first book is from actually pre-birth until, you know, a couple years ago, and the next one picks up where that leaves off, and that'll be out at the latest by this October. So really looking forward to sharing my latest stories. And so, yeah, and you can go on Facebook, facebook.com/ghostseers, and you can follow my page there.
Awesome. I know you and I talk a lot, and I appreciate you so much. And I was hoping you would call in tonight. I wasn't sure we hadn't talked.
I've been on vacation from your show figuring stuff out, but I think I'm getting it together now.
Good.
Yeah,
well,
you guys have a great
again.
Night.
Let's talk
Thank
again.
You.
Love
you too, hon.
Absolutely. All right. Good night, y'all.
Good night.
We've got another special caller. I know who this is. Let's bring the next caller up. So as soon as it opens up here. Hi, caller. You're on the air. Who do we have?
Hello?
Hello. Who's this?
This is Tina. I work with Brandy.
Hi, Tina.
Hi, Brandy. You're doing an excellent job, my friend.
Brandy said that you were going to call, so I wrote your telephone number down, and I was kind of waiting to see for your number pop up. So what I want
to
know, Tina, Brandy says you're one of her best friends, and Margie's there, so Margie can jump in on this too. I want to know all the details. I want to know what's some of the funny stuff that Brandy's done on investigation, some silly things that she don't want nobody to know, but let's drop it out here on the show tonight. Give us all the details of the crazy stuff.
Oh my God, there's so much. you know what? It's funny because we all met, the three of us met at the same time last November before we went on an investigation to the Madison Seminary. It was the first time we all met and we became instant friends. It's just been fantastic. But road trips are always interesting. All the girls like to go together and throw the music on real loud and sing and act a fool, and then we make fun of the boys as we're driving, so that's fun. Brandy is definitely afraid of bats.
Oh yeah.
Which is hysterical because when she was talking about the precinct, by the second time we went to the precinct, it was Brandy, myself, Todd, and Jeff. And a bat came flying through the basement. And the next thing I know, Brandy's on her knees hiding behind me with her head kind of tucked in my shirt, screaming because this bat had buzzed
Hold
her
on.
Head on the way by. Oh, yeah, it was hilarious.
Well, she had her head up your shirt?
Well, the back of it, like on my back. It wasn't anything bad.
Lord,
I was literally hiding.
But she was scared. It was so funny. We've been like at Waverly. Waverly was a pretty intense place. And I've never seen her scared before, and she got scared over that. It was hilarious.
Yeah, so she can talk to dead people day and night and not get too scared, but a freaking bat
right?
flies by her head and it all hell breaks loose.
It was
I
funny.
Don't do bats.
No.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I am, too. You know, I get scared over the craziest things like that, too. Hey, Margie, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
Give us a little funny story about Brandy.
Oh, gosh. Put me on the spot here.
If you don't have one, you don't have one. That's fine. You make something up.
I dance it.
Something up. We got her doing this. We got her twerking at a radio station investigation one night.
Oh yeah.
Her and Jeff.
Is that on video?
No.
No.
Jeff.
Brandy ran.
Yeah.
There's never a camera around when you need one.
No, there never is.
Yeah.
I like to experiment with it too, so. My funny stories are pretty boring, but I mean, they're funny to me.
Right. Well, that's the way it typically is. You know, we find the humor in ourselves more than other people do. Well, let's keep you three online here. We're going to have to kind of start closing out the show, but you guys stay online. Don't hang up. Be there. I just want to ask. I want to ask Brandy. I ask these questions of all of my guests, and you, Brandy and Tina and Margie, you all can answer this if you want. You don't have to if you want to, but Brandy has to answer these. I like to ask, my guests. First off, I think that everybody has like a story to tell. I think everybody has something that they just know about life, something that has meant something to them. There's an event or a circumstance that kind of makes them change something, it's like an important thing, like a valuable thing. And I like to ask everybody, what is that thing? That's something that you just know to be true, important, valuable. So Brandy, tell our listeners something that you just know from your life that we all can kind of glean from.
I'd have to say my number one thing is family support. With my husband and my children being there for me and supporting me and letting me be me, accepting me for who I am and letting me go out there and help people and be accepting of it is a big help to me, and it makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wrote a book for my kids when I was really sick and I wasn't sure if I was going to make it. And I wrote a book for my kids, and some of it's funny, some of it's tearjerker, some of it's just stupid stuff, but, just things that are important about life, that I was afraid that I may not be able to tell them, I mean, maybe my time is up, and I wrote this little book called Just in Case I Forget to Tell You. And it's just 10 chapters of things that's important. And it's funny because the book is like really, really thin. So I tell people it contains all of my knowledge. That's why it's so thin. I don't have a whole lot of knowledge. But Tina, Margie,
yes,
is there something in your lives that you want to share, something that's valuable that people just got to know?
People just got to know. I like Minions.
Yeah? Minions important, huh?
There's something more valuable. Okay, make the best of everything you have and
appreciate
the people in your life. I don't know. For me, it's just, the basic stuff.
Yeah, well, those are important. The basic stuff is the most important stuff. The small stuff, the little stuff in life really are the big things in life. It's the things that give color to life. And that's one thing I've learned over the past year being really sick, that don't step over the little things. The little things are truly the big things. Just that moment that you're driving in your car and your kid's next to you and you have some stupid conversation and it makes them laugh, they're going to remember those things forever. That's a little tiny little thing, but it's so important.
Don't ever take anything for granted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. What about you, Tina? Are you thinking about something?
No, it's basically the thing that we try and promote. I know Brandy and Margie and I all talk about this quite a bit. It's just like energy attracts like energy. So if I am going to be grateful for what I have, if I'm going to try and live a positive lifestyle, if I'm going to love unconditionally, the more I put out, the more is going to come back to me.
And I think that it can spill over, and then your positive energy also is now kind of affecting somebody else, and now they're positive. See?
Right.
Yeah.
And
I've got
so
to find...
Nope, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, no, finish your thought.
I've been having this discussion a lot this week with people. The unconditional love thing is such a very important thing, because it's when you find people that accept you for you exactly who you are, flaws and all, and they love you unconditionally, once you receive that from someone, it's truly the greatest gift you can get. And
oh,
once
I
you
absolutely
get that from
believe
someone,
that.
It is so important to give it back out into the world.
Yeah,
I
absolutely
agree.
Believe that. I like to say that, and unfortunately I have some friends who are like this. I like to say that it's easy to love me when it's daylight out. But as soon as you crawl into my dark spaces, as soon as you understand my you know, what's in my closet, as soon as you see the darkness in me, it's easy to run away. But a real true friend with unconditional love, I like to say they got big flashlights, and it's okay. We'll go through my darkness together, and I promise I'll go through your darkness together too. That's the sign of a real true friend. Okay, enough of all this sappy fun stuff. Right? I want to ask Brandy, because my show is about being fun, not about crying over, you know, my darkness. I got to ask her some. I got five more questions. We're going to go through these pretty quick because you may not have some answers to this, even though I've given it to you prior. Let's see how well how you've thought through some of these. I ask everybody that comes on my show these five things because these are five things that I got a lot of questions about. The first thing is, does Bigfoot live in Indiana?
He could.
Brandy.
Yep.
I honestly believe that he could. I mean, until you prove me wrong to an extent, I can't disagree with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I like that.
I'm a believer of everything. Prove me wrong. I mean, that's just how it goes.
I believe in Bigfoot and Sasquatch. I had a Bigfoot expert on a few weeks ago and opened my eyes to a lot of things. But I believe in those creatures. I'm just not positive that they're like in Indiana or even Michigan for that matter, even though Michigan's
right.
Some great forests and stuff. I just don't see them around us. I think that they're probably way up in Canada somewhere or way in Alaska or the northwest corner of the United States where there's like millions and millions and millions of square acres of forest where they don't have to see humans. So,
right.
But I got a cousin who's going to be on the show in a couple of weeks. He runs the Indiana chapter of Bigfoot research or whatever. And so I ask everybody, you know, if they believe that Bigfoot can be in Indiana. I'm not sure that they're in Indiana, but that doesn't mean I don't believe in Bigfoot. So second question.
Right.
Do you believe that aliens have visited our planet?
For sure. Yeah.
Have you ever had an experience?
No. But I do believe it. I mean, like I said, I believe in everything. I mean, until you prove me wrong. You know, I mean, they've just found so much.
Brandy's really an alien.
I am. I'm an alien. I'm sorry. I am that evidence.
Yeah. You got some crazy, crazy, crazy deep blue eyes, though. I think maybe you are an alien.
I could be. You never know.
Yeah.
Fourth generation.
Do you know who killed JFK?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't know.
You've not done any research into that? I'm a big conspiracy theory nut.
No, I don't get into none of that.
Yeah. I think that the government killed him. I don't think that it was Lee Harvey Oswald. I think we assassinated, the government assassinated. What about you, Margie and Tina? What do you think?
Oh, everything's possible.
You guys, honestly, you guys have no idea. You've never even looked into JFK. That's why you have no answer. Is that right?
Nope, I've never looked into it.
There's the honesty's coming up. Do you go ahead.
I live in Canada, so.
Yeah, you're like, who the fuck is JFK? I don't even know who
JFK?
That is.
No, you know. I've seen pictures. He's quite handsome. That's about all I know.
People say that JFK looks like me.
Oh, wow.
He is very handsome.
I know. Yeah. That's the thing. I'm very handsome, too. So people think that he looks like me. Oh, Lord Almighty. I'm joking. Okay. Brandy, did we really send men to the moon? And have we actually had men walk on the moon? What do you think?
I believe so, 100%, yeah.
So it's another conspiracy thing. I don't believe we did. I think it was all in some studio at Area 51.
You really think so? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
honestly, seriously, I don't think we did.
I'll have to do some research on that, but based on my intuition and stuff, I'd have to say, yeah.
Oh, I never thought about that. So you're using your paranormal superpower to figure this out. You think that we actually did. Well, there could be some validity to that then. I think there's too many questions for me to believe it. But anyway, I can go on and on and on about that.
We'll have to talk some more about that online.
Yeah. I just don't think we did. Last question. And I want all three of you to answer. Brandy, you answer first. When you die, well, let me preface this question because I used to have what I would call a shit list because there's been some shitty people in my life, but I changed my list. I no longer have a shit list. I now have a haunt list. There are people that I am going to freaking haunt and scare the shit out of when I die. So I want to know, Brandy, when you die, are you going to haunt people?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yes, I am. I have a list a mile long.
Yeah, right on. And go ahead.
And trust me, with my abilities, I know how.
That's right. What about you, Margie? Do you have a haunt list?
Oh yeah, number one and two on my list are my two kids.
Oh shit!
Just because of all the shit they gave me growing up.
Right, yeah, it's payback now. Yeah. They're going to be eating supper, and all of a sudden the salt is going to just pour on their food and do all kinds of creepy stuff. I'm not going to do stuff like that. I'm going to be the ghost that stands at the foot of the bed and just stares at them until they wake up and see me scream. And then as soon as they see me, then I'm going to like disappear. So they're like, what the hell was that? And then we'll be scared all night long. That's what I'm going to do. What about you, Tina? You got a haunt list?
Yep, that's it. No, I've got one on my list, and that's exactly what I'm going to do every single night. I'm going to stand at the end of my ex-husband's bed and make him regret everything.
Is that your husband in the background that I'm hearing?
No.
I hear a dog barking.
I think that's Randy's dog.
Sorry.
Dog is barking.
Oh, I apologize.
No, that's fine. Well, we had a really fun time tonight, Brandy. You did great. I wish we could get to some more callers, but we just kind of run out of time. So that's all good. You did great, Brandy. You were worried
Thank
all
you.
Week long,
Thank you for
but
having
you did
me
awesome.
On.
Yeah, I appreciate I appreciate you coming on. Thanks, Tina, for coming on and talking about, you know, making fun of Brandy,
you.
Your friend. And Margie's with Brandy. And Margie, thanks for kind of hanging out with us. So I just want to say that, thanks everyone for listening to tonight and supporting the show. You know, thank you, Brandy Miller, for being our very special guest. We'll be doing an on-site show every month throughout the summer. So if you volunteered for to help out at a on-site and you weren't able to this last time, just go ahead and Facebook message me and we'll get you on the list. We got a couple of places coming up next in June. I'm going to be at two places in June and then one place in July. And we're still working out some details for August and September, but it's going to be fun. We really enjoy that. It's sitting in a haunted place, having a radio show and listening to people scream as things happen is just my cup of tea. It's a lot of fun. So thank you so much to the Hannah House for sponsoring tonight's show. Make sure to visit their website to schedule your investigation or wedding or fun meeting. You can visit their website, www.thehannahmansion.org. www.thehannahmansion.org. That's HANNAH mansion.org. So until next week, I guess it's bye, Felicia.
Off the Air Radio Show is now off the air. Thank you to my guests. Thank you to my sponsors. Thank you to my listeners. And to my two beautiful children, Carter and Reagan. If you're ever lost, I will never stop looking for you.